Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio, your guide to practical mindfulness and meditation. Join hosts Tim Darter and Steve Kramer and discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day. Watch yourself connecting in a whole new way and find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now here's your hosts, Tim Darter and Steve Kramer.
Hey, welcome to Spirit Fire Radio. I'm Steve Kramer. It's great to be here with you.
Hi, I'm Tim Darter, and this is the first day of fall, and fall came into Western Massachusetts in full force this week, and it's beautiful. The leaves are starting to change. And Steve, you just got back from teaching a class in New York.
Yeah, I was in New York City. I was a New Yorker for many, many years. It was great. Great.
Yeah, you were teaching level 4 of esoteric healing, right?
Yeah, teaching an esoteric healing class, teaching a lot of teachers, actually, about the subtle systems and about ways to balance the body, the mind, emotions, physical body. We were teaching a lot of really great progressive stuff to a wide variety of people. We had some massage therapists. We had acting coaches. We had teaching coaches. We had college professors. We had psychotherapists. It was a great group of people, so a lot of fun, a lot of really wonderful teachings. Yeah, 2-year program just finished up, so that was great. And actually, interesting, you know, a lot of these teachers were all teaching their students how to tap into the subtle system. So this word system, it's so sort of going to be used a lot today on the show. We have Dr. Lisa Napora with us, and she is an educator and a researcher, a consultant. She's dedicated to contemplative education. And you know, we're on the second step of the practice, which is the tip of the nose. And this is the part of the practice where we actually get into instruction. We start really teaching. We had Lori Warren, great fun.
Right. Yeah, that was awesome.
Last week, talking about smile, really just enjoying the fact that you're sitting down. You are going to start this new practice. You're going to start a meditation and just really enjoying the fact that you appreciate these choices you've made for yourself. And now we get into instruction. And so often when we're trying to create a change in a system, we bump up against stuff.
And so what does tip of the nose represent for the practice? What are the pieces that we're trying to pull into our mindfulness with that step?
Well, certainly it's focus. We want to bring it to the mind and actually bring the mind to a center and to a place of focus. But it has a lot to do with noticing the usually not noticed, that there's this huge system going on inside of you. The breath, and what does the breath do, and how does it affect the mind? There's a lot going on. So, you know, we want people to bring it down to this one point where the outside meets the inside, this place of sort of interface and synthesis, and just notice. Notice the usually not noticed.
Which is great, because today with Dr. Lisa Napora, she holds a PhD in educational leadership and policy, and she sees herself as promoting the infusion of awareness-based practices within the American education system. So we're going to talk with her and really see just how mindfulness is making its way into higher education, and she sees herself serving as a bridge between the languages of contemplation and learning. So welcome, Lisa. How are you? Thank you for joining us.
Hi, I'm doing really great. Glad to be here today.
Yeah, we're so excited to talk to you. This is really the frontier. I mean, you're doing this on a huge scale. You know,
yes.
We're talking to everybody about their system. You know, here's their subtle system. We're working with their mind and their emotions, trying to get all this lined up. But you are out there working with systems, you know, the education system and leadership. You know, a lot about mindfulness and leadership. We talked earlier, you know, just out on the air, we kept talking about mindful leadership and mindfulness in education. Maybe just tell us a few words about what that looks like.
Well, first, I just want to say I love the parallel you're making about systems and the inner and the outer, that our system and the systems that we look at in the world, it's the same kind of transformational processes that take place. So that actually helped me with a broader understanding too, Steve. So thank you. Mm-hmm. So to say a little bit about mindfulness education and mindful leadership, it's a huge wave sweeping the nation. People have probably seen this all over the place on television or on the cover of Time magazine, that mindfulness or awareness-based practices are being infused into all the systems of Western society, be it education or medicine psychology, and even government.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as I was saying, even actors. I mean, how interesting is that? We have this whole system. They're teaching actors to act from certain chakras. You know, they're teaching actors all about their subtle systems and their chakras so that they can actually act from, you know, their solar plexus. I mean, it's really a whole new world and a whole new language. So I'm just curious, you know, you've first got to teach the language. I mean, these words, mindfulness, awareness, contemplative. I mean, a lot of teachers, and I'm sure a lot of people within the system just have no idea what that even means. So I know that's a huge part of your work is teaching the language first, so then at least it can be implemented, yeah?
Yeah, so doing bridging work so that the system, the people in the system, don't see it as something that is alien, that awareness or mindfulness is actually already something that is relevant and related to what is valued and already deemed to be important in the system. So I can just give one example that I'm currently using in one educational circumstance, and that's bridging between awareness and experiential learning, and that we use reflective practices in the process of learning inherently, so that awareness or mindfulness is not something that is separate or alien to the system. So it's creating the linkages and understanding that these words that we're using in terms of contemplation have relevance in the system, so that people aren't, they don't contract, they're not as resistant to what's being offered.
Yes, if education isn't contemplation,
right?
we're certainly not just putting data together and rearranging that. You know, there's a big difference between sort of intelligence and knowledge. I find that this sort of really stretches that. You know, are we just learning data and rearranging these ideas, or are we opening ourselves up to the broader, to the bigger picture? You know, I think that's important too. What's sort of the vibration behind some of those words?
And how do you,
and go ahead.
There's a lot of instances where, you know, especially with research, where empirical data is really the important piece to actually find out how much progress is being made in something. How do you approach that with contemplative education?
Yeah, I think for me, research is a very big important part of this work, because the system requires quote unquote proof, evidence-based research, that any new methods could be utilized in the system. So in terms of research, there we've already had a lot of findings around the benefit in the classroom. So one of the important things is focus and concentration, of course. As you can imagine, when you're working with these practices, that's going to become something that's of benefit. And also, you know, decreasing depression, stress, and anxiety. So much could be said here, and the research has proven it. So these links are really important. They want to have proven to them that this is relevant to the system itself.
So in that, certainly there's so much about noticing the usually not noticed, and then creating that bridge to say, well, perhaps you haven't thought of it in this way or looked at it in this way, but really they're very much the same thing. And again, that just brings it back to tip of the nose. You know, where is your focus, and how do you bridge this outside world to the inside world? Yeah, very interesting stuff. Indeed.
And do you find a lot of, you know, how is it being received when you go into either with an education faculty member or students, like how do they receive, you know, bringing mindfulness into that situation?
Well, it's different on different levels in terms of where systemic acceptance lies. I think the students are very receptive to this in the classroom as a general statement, and yep, can see how these things can help them in a wide variety of ways. The movement currently resides at the faculty level. So faculty across the nation are infusing these methods in their classrooms. The challenge is more at the systemic level, that administrators or staff might not see the direct relationship, how it's relevant to the education system. So a lot of my work focuses on this kind of a bridge between faculty and staff with what they're doing and that the system understand the relevance. There's a lot of resistance when something is new. It takes a lot of time and patience and commitment to create those bridges and open people to understand something that they think is new.
Indeed. Right. I mean, that is absolutely where we're at, certainly within the step of the practice as well. I love how these correlations keep happening. You know, anytime you introduce something new and you sort of tell someone, here's what we're going to take a look at right away, they go, whoa, you know, what is that? How to sort of really relax them, really open them up and actually inspire them. You've got to, again, with the tip of the nose, you know, we bring the air in this step of the practice and you realize there's just this dynamic world that you never really noticed was happening all the time. And, you know, all of the studies about mindfulness and all correlates to education. And I'm sure just each little baby step sort of opens them up to sort of redefining what education means to them. I mean, it certainly is a really, really exciting path that you tread. So we're going to go to a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about what that would look like. Meditation in a classroom. It just sounds fascinating. I know I experienced it this whole last week. So when we come back, more with Lisa Napora and Tim Darn.
Transformation Talk Radio is dedicated to the education and awareness of Lyme disease.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lyme Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Pat, joined here by
Dr. Nusheen Darvish.
Dr. Pat Basile and Dr. Nusheen Darvish will be bringing the most innovative, groundbreaking information, research, treatment innovations, and stories from those it affects every day.
I'm so excited to be talking about this.
We have so much to share.
Dr. Darvish and I are planning to do is connect the dots.
People suffering with all sorts of chronic diseases, it's time. It is time for them to transform.
Tune into Lyme Talk Radio and help keep our mission strong.
For the loyal listeners out there that have been listening to this incredible show on Lyme disease, we are not going to let you down. We're going to come through stronger and enrich the platform for Lyme disease awareness through Lyme Talk Radio. The message will continue, the conversations will become stronger, and the healing epic.
Hi, I'm Tim Darter.
And I'm Steve Kramer.
Join us on Spirit Fire Radio. Discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day.
And watch yourself connect in a whole new way. Find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio.
Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. for your weekly guide to practical mindfulness. And to learn more, visit www.spiritfireradio.com.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Are you feeling broken from your relationships? Are you second-guessing yourself about friends, family, and lovers? Tune into the hit show that's creating a buzz in the love-seeking community, Love Seeker Radio, finding love for your authentic self with renowned love coach Heather Lynn. Tired of dissatisfying relationships? Kiss them goodbye and power up your love seeker energy. Coach Heather Lynn reminds you that you can just be you, the beautiful and perfect you. Visit heatherlynncoaching.com to learn more.
Wondering how to play the game of life and actually win? Stop wondering and start willing the game of life with the unique and incomparable Lynn Brown. As an intuitive healer and experienced business manager, Lynn can help you live your life to its full potential. To learn more about Lynn, visit ruintuit.com. That's the letter R, letter U, intuit.com.
Hello and welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. And we want to make sure that we let you know about the practice and that we're starting step two this week. And for those interested in joining and meditating with us daily, you can go to www.spiritfire.com and go to the meditation tab where you can find out all you need to know about joining us for the practice of living awareness.
Yeah, we do meditations really 7 days a week. There's an entry-level practice, an intermediate practice. There's a world service on Sundays. So Spirit Fire is a nonprofit educational organization, and we are focused on bringing mindfulness out into the world. One way we do that, one of the many ways we do that, is through meditation, and we offer that free. So yeah, we've got a blog. We offer free meditations daily. So we are here talking about meditation and mindfulness with Dr. Lisa Napora. And we talked earlier about how to bring meditation into the education system. What would that look like? And I was talking to, we had a retreat at the center last week, and one of the gentlemen that was there was talking about growing up Quaker. He's not Quaker, but he said, you know, this silence, at a Quaker school, you spend five, ten minutes in silence before class starts. And he said that has stuck with him his whole life. It taught him a bit about his mind. And he said he came so to appreciate every day just entering the classroom and going into silence and sensing all of his classmates and really getting himself ready to learn. He felt that it really had a lasting effect. So, Lisa, that sounds like a really perfect model. I mean, you, I suppose, would love to see that system-wide, huh? A little bit of meditation at the beginning of school. But what would that look like? In a perfect world, what would a mindful-based education system look like?
Well, that's a great question. First, I want to say about meditation in the classroom in general, I think that people might have a very formal picture in their mind of students everywhere with their eyes closed meditating, but the way that things are being framed within the system is to focus on bringing the students into connection with their interior worlds, into connection with themselves in a way so that can foster and deepen learning and provide more meaning in their education. So in addition to what we might think of as formal meditation, there's many, many different practices that are being infused. So like you just said, silence is definitely one of the common things, common elements being infused in the classroom. But various forms of stillness like that, like then meditation and centering, but also things like movement, relational aspects like dialogue and sharing and deep listening that bring that people sort of soften and open and are a little more vulnerable and relating with one another. So at the foundation, it's about connecting inside and being present in the moment.
Wow. So that is really beautiful. It actually gave me chills. I mean, I love that idea of teaching listening. You know, that's really, really something beautiful. It does sound like a really perfect world education system. Wonderful. And, you know, so this really stuck with my friend. This really stuck with him. He to this day, is an avid meditator. And I sort of love that you would say that it's not actually about meditation, like bringing it to a wider scope. And again, this idea of the inside meeting the outside, you know, teaching kids that there's a lot to themselves beyond what's happening, whatever the teacher is telling them, that actually it has quite a bit to do what's how they're receiving that and how they're processing it on the inside. There's a sensitivity you seem to be teaching them, or they're being sort of asked to be aware of. It's lovely. And so
deepening the foundation of self-awareness. Yeah.
Right. And how would one go about that? I mean, how would that be implemented then into the system? How do you take baby steps toward that?
Again, I think it goes back to the bridging work that a lot of us are doing. So there is an organization called Mind and Life, who are forerunners in this work. So Mind and Life was founded about 28 years ago by scientists who engaged with His Holiness the Dalai Lama, who basically took the approach of, okay, you know, these things have to be proven to the Western mind. So the scientists started out on that journey a long time ago, especially in neuroscience. And because of their work and their proof, their research, then this work has been able to migrate into psychology and medicine, and then now eventually into education. So the foundation of the work is this intersection of contemplation and science, so that awareness-based practices can be infused into all of the Western systems. But when we think about a system, the system is us.
Right.
So that's really the important piece, is the exposure to these practices that can help people to connect inside and expand and deepen their awareness. But I think the even greater key with these practices is not just the cultivation of self-awareness, but how over time, with the commitment and with practice, then this awareness can expand and blossom into awareness of other, awareness in group, and then eventually into interconnectedness and interdependence, the awareness of that, which then gives us the system's perspective. We can then see the whole and our relation to the whole, and not just see it, but that actually changes our behavior, our actions, our relationship to the whole. So that would be the bigger picture of the why within the systems, and how that can actually help us to meet the challenges globally that we're facing today.
Indeed, and bringing some heart in there. You know, amazing when you say these scientists meeting with His Holiness the Dalai Lama, when I hear you say interconnectedness and interrelation, I think of the heart. You know, that's Dalai Lama. He is heart. He is all heart. Interconnectedness, and these scientists being mind, you see again this heart-mind relationship. It's really beautiful. And indeed, it's what we've got going on inside is reflected in the outside. And we look at the world around us and we realize, yes, indeed, we need to really remind ourselves that if we're disconnected to the person across from us, if we're disconnected to ourselves, we're really disconnected. That has a ripple effect, you know, all throughout the world.
Mm-hmm. That disconnect creates an objectification that isn't really real. It's just related to our perception and our lack of awareness of that.
And that's when we bring it back to the tip of the nose and we start to notice the usually not noticed, you know, and isn't that what it is? You know, our mind is all over the place. Our mind is scattered. It has effect on our mind, on our thoughts, on our physical body. Even we see so many people just run down and ragged all over the place. And it's when you bring it back to that focus, you bring it back from the disconnect to something as simple as connecting to your breath and taking a look at the very tip of your nose, of the air coming in, of the air filling your lungs, of exhaling, you realize that I am actually a part of this world. I'm connected to this world. This air that I'm breathing was once outside of me, and now it's inside of me. It's giving me what I need, and I can then release it. And, you know, isn't that education? What is the world out there offering me? How do I bring it inside? How do I notice the quality and the texture of what it is that I'm learning? How do I process it, make it my own, and then bring it back out into the world and connect it to everybody and be a part of a system that I'm contributing to, that we're all contributing to, and with some self-awareness, with some heart, with mind? You know, it's all the same, the macro, again, equaling the micro.
Mm-hmm, for
really
sure.
Great. So I'm really interested about this leadership. You know, of course, whenever we're changing this system, we've got to have leaders. And I know you're involved in not only mindfulness in the education system, but also leadership development that extends beyond just the education system, but leadership for social change. And that's going to be a great topic. I'd really love to talk about that when we get back from a break. We're going to take a break in a couple minutes. So when we get back, I'd love to hear about a mindful leader. You know, what does
that
look like? Who in the world would you think is a mindful leader? And I know it's going to be a great conversation. So before we go to break, just to let you know that spiritfire.com is online. If we offer classes online. We offer online meditations and a retreat center. Spirit Fire Retreat Center is in Western Massachusetts. Come visit us. Come meditate. We offer lots of retreats all focused on mindfulness and all the good stuff we're talking about here. All right, Lisa, we're going to go to a break. And when we come back, we'll chat about mindful leadership.
You got attitude? Keys to the rescue. Adjust your attitude with Keys Clear Protein Waters. So refreshing. Just a few sips of Keys will give you a whole new outlook thanks to 22 grams of the happiest protein on earth. Tongue-tingling tasty without the guilt of naughty or nasty ingredients. If that doesn't put a smile on your face, maybe you need to drink too. Put a little woohoo in your attitude with Keys Protein Water. On Amazon or at Keys, K-E-E-S, please.com.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Enlightening, humorous, and compassionate. Listen live to The Kelly Ballard Show, insight and inspiration from the great beyond. Kelly is a fourth-generation medium and intuitive who covers topics ranging from grief, spirit guides, and listening to your intuition. Kelly can help you get answers and guidance from the other side with a little bit of humor and a lot of healing. Tune in to The Kelly Ballard Show, Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time here on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. This is Tim Darter.
And I'm Steve Kramer.
And we are talking with Dr. Lisa Napora today, and we're just about to get into leadership for sustainability. What is that all about, Lisa? What does an authentic leader look like and mindful leader?
Yeah, I love this idea of leadership for sustainability. I love those words. There's some interesting conversation. So, yeah, mindful leadership. What does that look like?
Yeah, so starting with that concept, that's a new concept out there that's been building for a while, looking at how leaders need to have authenticity and presence, compassion and ethics, and all those lovely things. But the foundation is self-awareness. So there's a lot of research going on these days around what are these things and books promoting that this kind of leadership is really needed today. But on a bigger scale, because we're all leaders in some way, whether we're a leader in a classroom, we're a leader of a team, we're a leader in our family, you know, having these this kind of awareness as a foundation. But when we go to a more macro level, looking at the large complex systems that we're dealing with in the world today and the sustainability crisis, so that has brought on a spur of research and thought around this idea of sustainability leadership. So first, Not an organization just being sustainable from the perspective of surviving the changes that are happening in our times and being sustainable to continue to exist and have a profit, but sustainability expanding out to be more about the relationship to the larger whole, and that an organization actually creates benefit for society in some way. So that broadened definition of sustainability. So then when we take that to the level of leadership for sustainability, what's the kind of leader that's needed to transform the systems and the organizations in a way that's looking at the whole and creating benefit for the whole and for society? So that goes back to what we were talking about the unfolding of awareness and how awareness can expand into not just self-awareness and benefit for the self in certain ways, but then to see group and the greater whole, so like a systems awareness. So that's sort of my way of describing leadership for sustainability.
Because, yeah, that's a relief. I was hoping you were going to say that a leader who just wants to be a leader for a really long time. Like, I am going to sustain my leadership for a really long time. I think the world knows that pretty well. And I love that it's the opposite of that. It's actually the flip side of that. It's actually the leader who's actually looking at the system and looking at the whole and wanting to change that so that they can actually empower others to be their own leader of sorts. You know, it feels like the round table as opposed to the long executive table with one at the head. It seems like somebody who's sort of circling around a round table, just making sure everybody's got their part. Yeah, it feels like that.
Yes.
Is there an example of a mindful leader today? Like,
That's a really good question. I think we're striving for that. And some people are able to have a little bit more influence in that way. Mm-hmm. I would like to name Otto Scharmer here, who is a professor at MIT in the School of Business. And he put out a book called Theory U. So in my way of explaining it, he's essentially taken what I would say the spiritual path, the process of transformation, and translated it into a leadership theory. So he's working with leaders and huge organizations all over the world using this theory, using this process with leaders to help them go inside and come to this place that he's calling Source and see, connect with Source and then create prototypes and ways of working within their system to transform it, I would say, for the greater good. And right now he has a massive open online course, you know, those new MOOCs, and that currently has, I believe it's 30,000 people on it in 182 countries interested in learning this process.
And when you say connecting to Source, tell me what you mean by that, connecting to Source. I mean, is that Source?
What's his word?
Source? Yeah. That's a great word. I just spent a week talking about connecting to Source. But do you mean Source as in one's higher self or the source within which one receives, you know, the essence of their being? Is that what you're talking about, Source?
Well, this is interesting, right? How we use language, we use language to bridge. So he's using the word Source. You know, that's a word that he feels makes it easier for a lot of people to understand a way of connecting inside at a deeper level, or I think he does use the term with their higher self. Wow. So again, we're always looking for language to make what we're offering more acceptable, more approachable.
Indeed. And that's a lot. What are those numbers again? 30,000? And
he's got 30,000. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a lot of people talking about Source. You know, that's yeah. That's
and
pretty
trying
great.
To be mindful. That's
yeah,
incredible.
That's really great. I sort of get the sense that when we would say, well, name us some you know, authentic leaders, you know, I get the feeling that a lot more of them are behind the scenes. You know, it's a whole new paradigm, it feels, is coming around. It's that one that really wants to be, as I was saying, the sustainable leader that's a leader for a really long time. You know, it's sort of ego-based.
Right.
Really talk about someone who's in it for themselves and who actually feels what it is they have to say and what it is they have to do is the right way. And I should be looked up to, I should be listened to, and allow me to rule. And we seem to be moving to a gentler, softer, more inclusive type of leader that is leading, as you say, the whole system to change. We're no longer just looking at ourselves and someone setting an example and saying, well, if you're like me, perhaps you could actually have a life that looks like mine. It's actually, no, you know, let's take a look inside and let's see together what we can create as a whole. It's, yeah, that seems to be the direction we're going. Actually, we're on Transformation Talk Radio, you know.
I would say it's a shifting paradigm right now. I would agree exactly with what you said. It's a shifting paradigm that the leaders who are leading these efforts are behind the scenes to a certain degree. And working with leaders and leadership educators across the globe, really.
And with the Dalai Lama.
In these efforts to promote this kind of change and foster awareness, the awareness base into the systems.
You know, I've read your wonderful, beautiful bio on LinkedIn, and this word nascent, you mentioned the word nascent. I think it's a lovely word. I had to look it up. I just wanted to say, you know, we keep talking about words and how important they are and how they fit and how they inform, which means there's a vibration to a word, you know, to this vibration. So I looked it up. Here's the definition of nascent. Just coming into existence and beginning to display signs of future potential. And then it says, in parentheses, especially a process or organization. So how interesting is that? I mean, here you are working on the organization, and you know, I would say the nascent field that we're setting up in this step of the practice of living awareness, of meditating, that really, it again, it's the micro as the macro. Well, our body is organized in a certain way. Our subtle system is organized in a very specific way. We as people are organized in a very specific way, and we just have to get to know it. We have to notice the usually not noticed. We have to bring our mind in and say, what's really going on here? Can I slow down? Can I realize that evolution is change, you know, and bring mindfulness to that change, bring mindfulness to my evolution, and actually stop for a second and notice what is going on. And that focus, that point to bring something to a focus where the mind is steady and noticing everything going on around it. Gosh, it's what you must do as a researcher day in and day out, huh? Okay.
Yeah, so I do love that word too. There's just something about the word nascent that just, I do like that vibration. So when something is nascent, when something is beginning, emerging, just beginning to develop, it takes a lot of time. It takes patience. It takes commitment and to not give up. And I think that is foundational to developing something new.
Yeah. And, you know, when you're bringing that out into the greater world, certainly teaching these leaders about mindfulness, I mean, requiring patience, requiring dedication. My goodness, you really need some time to yourself. You really need some time to quiet the mind, to come inside, to connect to source. You know, to connect to source is really something important. I know I just spent a week teaching people from all different backgrounds, you know, all together, just learning about these subtle systems and the way that they can apply them to their job or to, a lot of them are teachers themselves, and how they can bring this knowledge of how do we go inside, how do we connect to our source so that what we're offering our students or what we're offering our clients, what we're offering our patients is totally authentic, or even in terms of actors, the expression that I'm offering the world as I'm looking at the outside world, I'm bringing it in, and creatively, I'm becoming that creative expression of it in a play or in a musical. And how am I representing that and sort of owning that, even if it's just a storyline or it's a sort of a snippet of humanity? How do I bring that inside, synthesize it, interface it, and then express it back out into the world? So amazing that we are have gotten to the point where we've opened ourselves up to these subtleties, to these subtle words and these subtle considerations, and that people are talking about this in terms of bringing that to our education system and bringing that to social change. You know, it really does feel like a bright new world, you know, very exciting. I'd love to know what brought you to this. I mean, saying that, how did that come about for you? You know, how did you choose this path, if I'm not getting personal?
No, that's okay, because it's actually really relevant to the practice. Meditation practice, brought me into relation with myself and to an awareness of what might be my innate capacities that I could work with in the world, but also into a deep connection with what is that pulse wanting to express, which then took me to Mind and Life, and, you know, obviously related to His Holiness's work, and how I could apply my, you know, analytical mind, the particular skills that I might have in the world to help forward the kind of change that for me is about the well-being of all beings.
Wow, beautiful. Mm-hmm. I know I want to look into mind and life. And so if someone just went online, they could Google Mind Life. Could you tell us the name of the organization again?
Yeah, it's called the Mind and Life Institute.
Mind and Life Institute. Exciting mm-hmm. stuff. And you're just so dedicated to this. I mean, you bring so much to the world and certainly a leader. And behind the scenes, you know, you really are this supporting actor behind the scenes, just bringing it all to the forefront. It's really exciting and lovely. And so glad you're with us. We're going to go to a break, and then we're going to come back, and we ask some really fun questions to our guests. So we're going to come back and have more with Dr. Lisa Napora, talk about mindfulness and leadership, education, and change. We'll be right back. Spirit Fire Radio.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Hi, I'm Tim Darter.
And I'm Steve Kramer.
Join us on Spirit Fire Radio. Discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day.
And watch yourself connect in a whole new way. Find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio.
Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. for your weekly guide to practical mindfulness. And to learn more, visit www.spiritfireradio.com.
Are you ready for a radical shift in your way of being? Are you seeking a more deeply connected and fulfilling life? Awakened Living Radio is a show dedicated to helping you embrace a life filled with profound peace, connection, and happiness. TJ Woodward is passionate about helping you find your clarity, balance, and purpose. Join co-host TJ Woodward and Dr. Pat Basile on the first Monday of every month at 11 a.m. Pacific Time for Awakened Living Radio on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
The doctor is in. Tune in to the hit show, The Psychic Love Doctor, with host Deborah Lee. Deborah's life-affirming, highly perceptive reading method has taught Deborah how to zero in on specific problems with relationships, career pursuits, and current roadblocks to success and happiness. Join Deborah Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific and for a special broadcast the second Thursday of every month at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit LucidPlanetRadio.com for more information.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. We're talking with Lisa Napora, who's a PhD of Educational Leadership and Policy, and she's bridging the gap between the languages of contemplative education and learning. And we just wanted, before break, we wanted to get in with her on this new frontier and what it looks like going forward, Lisa.
Yes, social leadership and leadership for social change. That's what we were talking about right before the break. And we know that we were talking in the break that Lisa was part of would say elite in a way group of individuals who were at a conference in in Vermont in August. So I'd just love for you to share with everyone just a little bit about that, about this really is the cutting edge of sort of mindfulness and leadership. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. So the Mind and Life Institute launched a new initiative called the Academy for Contemplative and Ethical Leadership.
Wow. So, wait, say that again.
Yeah, sure.
There's Academy? These words, right? These words are so energetic. Sure. Say it again. It's the
Academy for Contemplative and Ethical Leadership.
Awesome. Okay.
So they, the faculty to sort of lead all of us were thought leaders in systems change, like Peter Senge, Otto Scharmer, Dan Goleman, who wrote Emotional Intelligence, Dan Siegel. So people of that ilk are sort of pushing this, leading this new initiative. And they brought together from around the world leaders. So leaders in any capacity, whether they're a leader of an education, a corporation, an organization, you know, someone from Google. So leaders, leadership educators, and researchers to catalyze this, Steve's favorite word, nascent, the nascent field that brings together the work in mindfulness, leadership, organizational change, and sustainability.
Wow.
So that's go ahead.
No. And just ethical, you know, ethical leadership. My goodness, do we all not want to see that, you know? How great that this is what's being cooked up, you know, in the stew. It's awesome.
Yeah, this is what's being catalyzed to not only expose leaders to these concepts, infusion into leadership education, but to catalyze research in the area. So then we have that proof factor that the systems would like to see regarding this work.
Yeah, and that's when we really start to see change. That's when it moves quick, huh? Wow, awesome. So, you know, we're coming to the end of the show, and it's been really enlightening and really so positive, and just has me excited about the future. You know, that's always good. We think about the future, and so many times we're fed this bummer story. It's so nice to hear that behind the scenes there's all this really incredible, beautiful work going on, and
incorporating mindfulness into our education system.
Amazing, right? Yeah.
For years to come, we'll feel the benefit.
It's great. Yeah.
For sure.
So, Lisa, now we have this question that we like to ask our guests, and we think that this is going to be fun. So, you know, you've got to have leaders too. I mean, you're educating people in leadership and mindfulness. Well, you must have your own personal leaders. So, we would love to know if you had a personal spiritual counsel. So, these are people that you can go to when you need your questions answered, or when, you know, you just need to be led the way when you need a little bit of insight or a little wisdom, you know, from powers that be. So, three members of your spiritual council, people you turn to for insight or wisdom, alive, dead, three people, or we should say dead, passed on, otherwise engaged.
As sorry.
Otherwise engaged.
Who might those be?
Well, this is fun because I can pick anybody then. So
yeah, anybody.
Well, I have to pick right away someone that I already mentioned, Otto Scharmer. Because to me, he's just the guru of transformation. The work that he's doing in systems change on a global scale, as fast as he can move as one person interacting with systems, is just stellar. And because my work focuses so much on transformation, of course, then his counsel would be a great gift. And just even reading any of his works, like you said, Steve, the vibration of words is something, you know, that guides me right to him as definitely one of my chosen council members.
And isn't it wonderful that he's a part of your spiritual council? Now, isn't that great? I mean, I love that we're bridging these gaps. You know, he's not just someone you look up to as a mentor, but you even can sense and feel and see that this is spiritual work. That's
absolutely.
I mean, that's
absolutely
just so beautiful about what we're seeing unfold in the world around every corner today. So, okay, go on.
Yeah, so similarly, the second person is similar in that regard, that he, his name is Arthur Zients, and he's a quantum physicist. He has been the president of the Mind and Life Institute. He recently is moving into retiring. Before that, he was the director of the Center for Contemplative Mind in Society, which is a national hub in the United States for contemplative teaching and learning. So his presence is such a bright light, the embodiment of love that he is. The word that came to mind when I was reflecting on him is that being in his presence is like a panacea. That's what it feels like.
Wow. Yeah.
It brings such clarity, and troubles just seem to be washed away.
Wow.
So I like how you linked that, even though these people are related to my quote-unquote work in the world, they're also, it's also very spiritual for me.
Well, you know, Einstein used to say that his best ideas, he would say they were drops of light that descended like oil on a, you know, these oil lamps. What, I don't know his exact words, but he would say these drops of light were dropped into his mind from angels. And he meant angels. Like he was serious.
That is so beautiful. I actually never heard that before.
Yeah. And I love these. He saw them as drops of light that would land in his mind, and he would sort of unpack them. You know, he would say that he would then translate them. You know, mm-hmm. So definitely once you get in these levels of the higher mind, you know, that's it. You know, that is source. We're getting very close to source.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. And who else?
Well, my last one is not intentionally a plug for Spirit Fire, but it ends up being anyway. It is Donna Mitchell Moniak.
Oh, the founder of Spirit Fire.
Founder of Spirit Fire and the practice of living awareness, who's been a friend and counsel for 14 years now, and who always helps me navigate the spiritual path. And engaging in the practice has changed my life, and her presence, support, and guidance has been a true blessing. So I've been fortunate to for this to actually be a reality in terms of my choice of spiritual counsel. I do have this one.
Wow. Well, if that isn't a plug, I mean, hello, here we are talking about awareness. You've been doing it for many years.
Yeah.
You know, and how wonderful that this sort of brought it all together for you. And it really brings it all together for the show. That's so great. I didn't see that one coming. Wow. Wonderful. Well, you know, all the more power to you, and hooray that the practice of living awareness continues to support you, because it continues to grow, and it continues online, and it's there for you personally, which you are then there for the rest of us, you know, for the generations to come, for, you know, sort of this social world that we live in. I mean, come on, this is the world we live in, and it's only going to get better with folks like you out there, Lisa. So thank you for all that you contribute. Indeed.
That's very kind, Steve. Thank you.
Indeed. So we are going to wrap the show up. Remember, you can go to www.spiritfireradio.com to look at our future guests, mm-hmm. and listen to some shows we've got in the past. Next week, we've got Tim. We've got Flo is next week.
Flo, and we're going to be talking to a five-element acupuncturist.
Yes. Talking
Colleen.
All about... Colleen, she's a wonderful, dynamic young
yes.
woman. So it's going to be a great conversation. So Lisa, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a great, really enlightening, positive conversation. Really appreciate it. And we'll talk soon.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Indeed.
And we'll see you next week on Spirit Fire Radio.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time for your weekly guide to practical mindfulness. Join Tim Darter and Steve Kramer and discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day. Watch yourself connecting in a whole new way and find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more about Spirit Fire, visit www.spiritfireradio.com.